How many of you know Jesus preached an unless you surrender gospel? I know in our modern theology, it's us calling upon God and us asking God to do a big favor for us and all those things that we hear, but that's not the truth. Jesus, when asked, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's surrender. That's wholehearted surrender. It doesn't contradict other scriptures that said, if you seek him with your whole heart there, you'll find him. So here's the thing. I want you to really pay attention to your life. Is your life surrendered to Christ? Is Jesus himself, when he preached the gospel of truth, his gospel, he preached a surrender gospel. People ask all the time, well, that sounds complicated, Pastor. What does surrender look like? Watch this. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Surrender is the absence of fighting against God. You stop. You've been doing that. Did you know the Apostle Paul, when he was confronted on the Damascus Road, before he was Paul, when he was still Saul, he said, why are you kicking against me, Saul? God had been trying to open his eyes to the truth, and he was kicking against him. You know what? In that moment where God confronts us with the truth, that is the moment of surrender. Let me say this. If God confronts you with the truth today, it is the moment of surrender. You say, well, I don't know if I can. Here's the thing. He does the whole work. You can't, were he not to draw you out of darkness and into light and give you the faith through surrender. So trust him in the beginning till one day we get to trust him for all eternity. Amen? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to First John, chapter 5. And I know I told you last week that we were going to stop looking at the overcomers. I did not fib to you or tell you a lie. What I did not do is I did not think God was going to continue to show me things here. And here's what happened. Lo and behold, he did. And I'm grateful for it. So we're going to talk about, how many of you have been excited about the fact that we are overcomers through Christ? How many of you left here Sunday and just wanted to go rest your brain? It's gonna be like that again today. So it maybe not to that degree, but maybe so. It just depends how closely you listen. But I want to teach you what the remaining part of this passage that God took me to in 1 John teaches us. And I want you to see something very important. Because lots of times we value our testimony of Christ, and we should. How many of you have a testimony of what Christ has done in your life? If you're born again, you do. Someone said, share your testimony with me of what Christ has done in your life. Let me say this. Every believer in here should be able to do that. I don't care if you don't have one single scripture verse memorized. You ought to be able to personally testify that God drew you out of darkness and into light, and he showed you the demise of your sinful ways, and he ushered you into a better life paid for by Jesus on the cross through his death, burial, his resurrection, and the finished work thereof. We can all share that. And I didn't quote one single scripture to tell you that. Did you know when Paul gave his, or Saul at the time, who became Paul, he gave his personal testimony of becoming Saul, and then Paul, here's what happened. When he gave his personal testimony, he didn't quote scripture. He just told a story. I was on the road to Damascus. I was minding my own business, thinking I was on the religious path. And here's what happened. Now, did those things agree with Scripture? You bet. Does your testimony agree with Scripture? Yes, it does. And our testimony is very powerful. God has given it to us that we may display Him through the words of that testimony. But what we're going to look at today is in this church here, John is writing, and what's happened is some false doctrine has crept in. So I want you to understand, we are always at war against false teaching and false teachers. Okay, don't ever forget that. Those of you who have been doing our study on Sunday nights, you know I have hammered this into you, and I will continue to do so. But as we look at this, I want you to understand, during this time, there was already some teaching that had crept in. And in this teaching, there was some error that was leading people down the wrong path in what they knew about Jesus Christ. What they had started doing is they had started basing everything that they believed on people's individual testimony. How many of you know it doesn't matter what a person's individual testimony is, because they could be lying. They could be stretching the truth. Have you seen these preachers who get in trouble where they give this big drawn-out testimony how they lived a life of sin and all these things? They were gangsters in the mob. And then when they research them, they find out these dudes were grew up in a suburban area of some city, and they never were in a gang, they never were arrested, all the stories that they told were false. You've heard of those guys, right? Go like this, they're there. Okay, those are the guys trying to make you cry, so you'll throw money in the offering plate. Okay, here's the thing. What's happening is there's some dispute about what we should really believe. And what we're going to see is John is going to teach the church today, it doesn't really matter what you think. It doesn't really matter your testimony, though your testimony matters in the right context. He's going to talk to us today about God's testimony of who the overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, really is. And God is going to triple stamp that testimony, if you would, today for us. So as we read this, let's read 1 John 5, where we've been. We're going to read verse 4 through 5 again, because I want you to get this in your mind one more time, in your heart especially. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is verse 4. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? He asked the question. Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Praise and glory to the Lamb. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Pay attention. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. Now the reason that he's saying this is there's some false teaching. It seems kind of funny that he would say that. There's some false teaching that comes into the church during this time. And they're saying this, that the Spirit of God, when the Spirit descended on Christ after his baptism in water, right, at the Jordan River, they were teaching this error, that the Spirit was with Christ during his earthly ministry, but before he went to the cross, the Spirit then removed himself from Jesus Christ. That is false. Did you know there are people who still believe that today? That is absolutely, positively false. And what he's doing, I know it seems strange to you, they knew exactly what he was talking about because the testimony of others was saying, we believe, right? You hear that all the time? Well, what I believe is, you know what I do when somebody starts? What doesn't matter what you believe. What does the Word of God say? What you believe is really relevant. You know what? There's been things that I believe that I realized I was dreadfully wrong because it didn't line up with the Word of God. And I had to come back and say, you know what? What I believe really doesn't matter. So he's saying this. He's proving a point to these people that Jesus not only came as the Christ and was revealed in his baptism, but it was also revealed in his sacrifice. He was Jesus, the Son of God, even when he was there on the cross, taking your beating, taking your shame, taking your sin. And it is the Spirit, it says, who testified. How many of you are thankful that you have the Holy Spirit in you testifying in you of the truth? He said, it's the Spirit who testifies because the Spirit is truth. Why is he mentioning truth here? Because he's countering a lie. Did you know the only thing that counters lies is the truth? And the Spirit is truth. Watch this. For there are three that testify. This is what we're going to camp today, where we're really going to pay close attention to this to help you with some of your confusion. There are three that testify. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. What is he saying? What does this mean in English? Watch this. We accept man's testimony. So when you share what Christ has done, you would get it. But God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God which he has given about his, say it with me, Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. The testimony in his heart. He is the true Son of God. The Lord Jesus was not the Son of God for a moment and then he withdrew that. He's still the Son of God, seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has his testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. Uh-oh. Watch this. Because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. When you were born again, I promise you this, the Spirit of God drew you to the Son. And he revealed to you who the Son truly was. Even if up until that point he was just historical and you didn't necessarily believe, you just kind of knew about, he showed you that he is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. Why? Because he is the Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his, say it with me, Son. You think he's trying to make a point here? Huh? He's trying to make a point because they were denying the sonship of Christ in this church. He said He always has been, He always will be. He is the Son. He who has the Son, watch this, he who believes that Jesus Christ is truly the Son, verified by the testimony of God that we're going to look at in detail, He says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You say, okay, preacher, now's the time where you teach us that in English. We're going to do that. We're going to clear this up for you. According to these verses, Jesus' sonship is proven not only through your personal testimony, because you know what? You can scream till you're blue in the face to a person about your personal testimony of Jesus Christ. And if God is not testifying to that person by His Spirit, you're wasting your time in there. And the thing is, we have to understand what John is saying. He's saying value those testimonies, but value the testimony of God more. And God has stamped the fact that Jesus is truly His Son. Number one, He said what? The Spirit. He said, for there are three that testify. Number one, the Spirit. How many of you understand that God testifies through the truth that Jesus is truly His Son through the indwelling Holy Spirit who inhabits every single believer who has ever lived in this life? How many of you believe that? How many say, preacher, I know that. I don't even have to see any scripture. The end, I know in my heart that the Spirit testifies that Jesus is the Son. Let me tell you this, you're not born again if that hasn't happened in your life. And God sent a personal testimony, a witness, if you would. The fact that His Spirit indwells you. We know this, that happened at Pentecost. You guys remember the story? Happened at Pentecost. The Spirit descended upon God's people, those who were born again through Jesus Christ, just as He had promised, marking them, testifying to them that you truly are the people that I have called to carry on the truth of the gospel to the whole world. That indwelling Spirit inhabits each of us who have followed by faith in Jesus Christ. You believe that? If you don't believe that, you're grabbing bad doctrine. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I believe that a person's baptized in the Holy Ghost after they're saved. No, they're not. It's impossible. You might finally get in on the work the Holy Spirit's been trying to do this whole time because you've been stubborn. You might call it some second blessing, but how many of you understand? All things come through the finished work of the cross. So here's the thing. You don't believe me? Turn to Romans chapter 8. As we see the Spirit giving testimony of who Jesus Christ truly is. Romans chapter 8. I'll give you a second to flip over there. Y'all there? Can I bore you with the bunch? Huh? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own, say it with me, Son, in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin and sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the, say it with me, Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the, we got it now, is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, he's talking to the church, pay attention to this, I love it. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the, if the Spirit of God lives in you, he's saying this, if the Spirit of God lives in you, you're controlled by the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, you're born again. I'm talking to you. That if the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, watch this. For all these people who believe in a second blessing, I got the Spirit later. Watch this. You got saved later, Jack. Uh-oh. Theological mess up right here. I'm going to mess you up. He says this, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Now, wait, I don't say it to be ugly to what your Pastor Lovejoy taught you at the Pentecostal church. He's in error. He's in error. That's it. He needs to admit that. He needs to say, man, I just read this in Romans, and Romans tells me that if I am truly His, that the Spirit's going to bear witness to my sonship, and I will know that I'm His because the Spirit lives inside of me. God's Spirit testifies to us internally, all the time. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. So if the Spirit's in you, there's going to be change. There's going to be resurrection. There's going to be life. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Let's read the rest of it. Since we're here. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. What? The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. He said, here's the thing. There are three that testify. The Spirit. How many of you, the Spirit testifies inside of you that you are God's child? Sometimes it works like this. Watch this. Sometimes it works like this. When you try to behave in the realm of what you used to be, and the Spirit of God inside of you says, uh-uh. Not anymore, Kirk Hall. That's what you used to would have done. That's how you used to would have handled this situation. That's what you used to would have said. Can you say used to would have said? You can in Texas. He's saying that's how you used to behave. And the Spirit bears witness. It is God's testimony inside of me that I am a son of God rescued by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God's Spirit testifies to us constantly, internally, of who Jesus really is. I'm thankful for that. People say all the time, you don't ever doubt? Not at all. Not at all. I doubt me. I promise you this. I doubt me more than I doubt God. Because I can count on God. I can promise you this. I've proven the fact. I can't count on me. Huh? Ask yourself that question. You weren't going to eat that bluebell last night before you went to bed. You counted on you. Right, the whole time you ate it, you're like, man, this is bad for me. I'm eating half a gallon of bluebell before I go to sleep. I just can't help it. You were counting on you. He's saying here in John, he's telling us, he's saying this. Man's testimony is good, but let's talk about God's testimony in reference to who the overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ, really is. The Spirit, he says, confirms to us that He is the Son of God. He said, if that's not good enough for you, God's Spirit testifying to us internally who Jesus is. Did you know you didn't get saved till that happened for the very first time? Huh? Wait, I responded to a little lady at VBS, and you didn't get saved. I don't say those things to make you doubt. Though I hope if you put your faith in that little lady at VBS, you do doubt. Because that little lady in VBS just gave you her testimony. She did it with a pretty sincere heart, I'm sure. But what she should have done, she should have said, now little children, if God is not showing you this by His Spirit, don't you dare walk this aisle and pray this prayer. Are you listening to me, church? All you people who walked down and prayed a prayer can't figure out why you're not any different than you've always been? Because the Spirit has not personally bore witness and testimony in your heart that Jesus is truly the Son of God, drawing you out of darkness and into light. And so today I pray if that happens. Well, we already talked about it. It was the pre-sermon before the sermon. Surrender! He's the only one who'll set you free. He's the only truth. Pay attention. When the Spirit testifies that Jesus is who this preacher's up here screaming that He is, He is that Jesus. Stop doubting. Time to walk in truth. His Spirit is a constant witness in all true believers that Jesus is the Son of God. You know why John was telling this? Because they were arguing about it. Well, I think He was the Son of God until He went to the cross, and then when He went to the cross, man, there's no way that could have happened like that. And John's saying, hey, you people aren't real smart. The Holy Spirit bears testimony that He is the Son of God, that He was the Son of God, that He always will be the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Son of God, who was and is to come. He's eternal. And so as we look at this, I want you to understand something that was confirmed in testimony of the Spirit. We saw that they saw that just as the Spirit descended on the believers there at Pentecost, and immediately Peter the coward turned Peter the preacher. Realize, man, this is exactly what Joel prophesied about. When Joel was led by the Spirit to write down those things, this is exactly what he was talking about. This is God's stamp of approval on Jesus Christ. God said, in God's Word, as we look today in John, He says, okay, there's three that give testimony. Three that bear witness to God, the Spirit. And then He said, the water. This is where a lot of people get confused, because what they want to do is they want to go back to the conversation that John had with Nicodemus. And John had a conversation with Nicodemus. He said that man must be born of water and born of the Spirit. What John was saying was a completely different topic. Everybody understand that? John was talking back in the Gospel of John. We know this is both the same guy writing these things. But John was talking about in the Gospel of John when he said that to Nicodemus that man must first be born of water and then of the Spirit. He was talking about redemption. Everybody understand that? And how it has to happen. You must be born again. You have to be born by water. How many of you know you spent 9 months underwater? Go back and do it again, you're not going to make it. Okay, unless you're in a submarine. Okay, so the thing is, he said a man, and he was referencing man, must be born of water and then born of the Spirit. Here's the thing. Jesus Christ did not have to be born of the Spirit. Jesus Christ was one with the Spirit. So understand this. In reference to who Jesus is a completely different topic, so don't take that out of context like many people have tried to do. Let's keep it in its context. What is the context of God's testimony of who Jesus is? So we see this. Check this out. How many of you remember in Matthew when Jesus was baptized, and what was He baptized in? Y'all say it with me. Water, H2O, agua, the Jordan River, okay? In that moment, God personally gives testimony there, doesn't He? Let's just, for curiosity's sake, sarcasm detected. If you detected sarcasm, you have a good sarcasm detector. Let's just, for curiosity's sake, go back to that moment and see if it might then bear witness to the context of what we're looking at here. Matthew chapter 3. As we look at the testimony of water in the life of Jesus Christ. How many of you know John was baptizing? A baptism of repentance, right? Well, Jesus really didn't have to do that symbolic of His repentance, did He? Why? Because He was the Son of God. He was sinless. So He didn't do it for the same reason that everyone else did it. Have you ever wondered, well, why did Jesus get baptized? You ever wonder that? I have. Why did He do it? Here's the thing. He did it so that the Father could give a testimony to all those there that He is. Watch this. This is crazy. Matthew, y'all there? I'm the only one in the room not there. I was talking. I should have been flipping. Matthew, y'all still with me or y'all asleep? I wanted to teach you something today. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. That's what I'd have said too. I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. He said, this is what God has led me to do. I cannot be disobedient, neither can you, John. Then John consented. I guess he did. Jesus just told him, you better do what I say. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. That's for all you sprinklers. He was down in it and came up out it. Did y'all get that? He went up out of the water. It was at the Jordan River, not at the Jordan bowl of water. He came up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open. Wait a second, this is a supernatural thing about to happen. What in the world is going to happen here? Heaven just opened up. Watch what happened. Said He came up out of the water and heaven opened up, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on Him. and a voice from heaven said, so it couldn't be the Spirit testifying here because the Spirit was descending on him. A voice from heaven said this, This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. What does this mean? This means this, that the Father has testified personally to who the Son of God is, and His name is Jesus. The same Jesus that walked this earth, that taught us all the things that He taught us, and the same Jesus who offered Himself on a cross as a sacrifice for our sin, the same Jesus who then rose from the grave on the third day, the same Jesus who ascended into heaven, and the same Jesus who is going to return for the church of the living God. He said, this is my Son. It was confirmed by water. That's testimony number two. Testimony number two, confirmed by the water. At Jesus' baptism, when He came up out of the water, God the Father confirmed who He truly was. And this testimony was provided for every witness that was there. And this account has been preserved all these years so that we would know. Did you know this? When they selected apostles, here's the thing. You know what they went back to? Somebody tell me. Listen, they had to be present at Jesus' baptism. Thank you. They had to be there. Why? Because they were bearing witness to the whole world that God the Father testified that this is His Son. So the second stamp on this testimony was the fact that at Jesus' baptism, God confirmed that He was truly the Son of God. Number three. He says not only Spirit, water, but He said the blood. Oh, where would we be without the blood? Where would we be without the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Oh, we would just be standing here saying there was a Jesus who was baptized and it was confirmed at His baptism that He was the Son of God. But the blood and all the blood encompasses, and let me tell you that is the finished work of the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension. Did you know He had to ascend to heaven? It's prophetic. He had to go back there to present that sacrifice so that He could sit down at the right hand of the throne of God in a position of authority. Because it was God's will and it was God's plan. God's testimony of who Jesus Christ truly was confirmed by the shedding of His blood and His sacrifice that He endured at the cross. Watch this. Maybe we can find another clue. Anybody's kids ever watch Blue's Clues? A clue. Here's the thing. Let's go back to Matthew, where you just left. You might want to probably just park there, keep your finger in that page. Matthew, chapter 27. Anybody ready to go yet? Man, y'all are learning some stuff. I like it. Anybody hungry to learn? Hungry, not just hungry, hungry. Matthew 27, look at verse 50. At the cross, where He shed His blood for you and for me, where atonement was made. Matthew 27, verse 50 says this, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, He gave up His spirit. That means He died. Watch this. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You want a confirmation of the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ? The worship system that they had gone through all these years just got ripped in half. The barrier between God and man was settled by the blood of Jesus Christ. The temple was the veil in the temple that kept us from the presence of God was torn, and now we can enter in into the Holy of Holies, into a right and perfect relationship with God the Father because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His perfect blood that's cleansed us from all our sin. So at that moment, it's not over yet. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. Woo, earthquake time. Big deal. The tombs broke open. And the bodies of many holy people who died were raised to life. Whoa, what? Did you catch that? I'll help you out. The Old Testament saints who were accredited righteousness through their faith that we read about in Hebrews, those guys got up out of the ground. They were resurrected, just as we who are believers in Christ in this life will be resurrected bodily someday, just as Jesus Christ rose from the grave bodily. The tombs broke open, the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. And they came out of the tombs. You think that's a testimony of who Jesus Christ is? We're not done yet. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people to give testimony that His blood is a witness from God that He is truly the Son of God. We're not done. Watch this. And when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and they exclaimed, "Surely He was the," say it with me, class, "Son of God." You think God wasn't giving testimony here? Oh, this all makes sense. You've read through 1 John 100 times. And what in the world? These three things, I don't get it. It's because you complicate it too much. This testimony of who Jesus really was, provided by God Himself through earthquakes and wonders and the tearing of the veil, this testimony caused even a pagan, vile Roman soldier to realize, that's me, I'm that guy, the one standing at the foot of the cross, caused even that wicked person to see truly He is the Son of God. So you say, thank you, Pastor, for our history lesson. These three are used. Listen. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. They're used for what? For what? To testify. Why? Why is it so important that we hear the testimony of God? Y'all flip back over to 1 John. I'm almost done, I promise. Unless you want to stay. I don't think I won't stay after all night. Look at verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Here we see that term again. I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Wow. He said, I'm writing these things about the testimony of God so that you know that you do truly have eternal life. Here's the thing. Jesus is the Son of God. To believe anything else is error. To believe anything else means you have not had revealed to you the testimony of God until just now when I revealed it to you. So what does this mean to us? Why was God doing this? He was doing this so those who heard this message would personally believe and encounter the Son of God, that He may give to them forgiveness of sin and eternal life. John 3:16, we all know it, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's funny how the Word just all goes together when we look at it like we're supposed to. Jesus, as God's Son, revealed to us by the Father through the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's inside of us. His Spirit revealing to us constantly, giving us the faith to believe, confirming the truth from His Word, giving us the hope, allowing our heart to be sealed with that guarantee that He's coming to rescue us. The Spirit witnessing to us personally. How about Jesus as the giver of new life? Wasn't the Father testifying to this? Jesus as the giver of new life at His baptism? At His baptism. As we die to our old nature, isn't this what we talk about in baptism? We die to our old nature that we may be risen together with Christ in our new nature. Was that a testimony of God about Jesus Christ and what He did at His baptism to prove He truly is the prophesied Son of God? You bet it is. How about the testimony of Jesus as the giver of eternal life by His blood? we see, by His blood, He purified us from all our sin. He paid the payment that none of you could pay on your own. He rescued you from your darkness and from your wickedness. His blood has cleansed you from every vile cell in your body so that you can now stand before a holy God, not under the curse and penalty of your sin. You can stand before a holy God covered in the blood of Christ because of the finished work of Calvary. And God wants each and every one of you to know, not only does this preacher testify to the truth of the Son of God, I myself, God in heaven, testified, and I stamped it 3 times so that you could hear the truth and come to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now what do we do? What do we do with this? You want to overcome this world? You want to overcome the sin in your life? You want to overcome all the wickedness of this society in this world? There's only one way to overcome that, through the overcomer. God just told you who He is. He's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and no man can come to the Father but by Him. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? What a testimony of who Jesus Christ is, provided specifically by Jehovah God to all of you this morning who the Spirit would allow to hear this message. You're here today. You know God's dealing with you. I don't have to explain that to you. You know what's going on. But you say, preacher, something's going on inside of me. And I feel God's Spirit drawing me, nudging me to surrender my life to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who bore my sin and my shame at the cross. And today, for the first time, I'm going to agree with the testimony of the Spirit and the testimony of the water and the testimony of the blood, those things that God provided to say Jesus is truly the Son of God. And for the first time in my life, I'm going to surrender my life to Him. If you're here and you say, that's me, preacher, I need Jesus to save me, and I'm surrendering to Him today for the forgiveness of sin. That's you. Would you slip up your hand right now? You say, Jesus is telling me in my heart through His Spirit that I need Him as my Lord and Savior. You're here. Here's the thing. I know you're here. God knows you're here. And He's graciously drawing you to Him today. Would you surrender to His mercy and His grace? You're here and you say, that's me, preacher. I need to personally receive the Son of God into my life as my Lord and my Savior, the only one who bore my sin on the cross. That's you. Would you slip up your hand right now so I can pray with you and pray for you? I'm tired of trying to do this life and trying to earn God's favor and trying to please God by my feeble human efforts. And today I realize that God is pleased with His Son, and I need to be covered by His Son and all that entails. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? Anyone here today? I won't beg you. Here's the thing. This isn't my testimony. This was a testimony of God. And I pray that God would reveal to your heart, your stubborn, hard, wicked hearts this morning, your need for Him like He never has before. Maybe you didn't raise your hand in just a moment. We're going to sing a chorus. And I pray this. I pray that you would be obedient if He's drawing you. Just come grab me. Grab me off of my guitar. Grab one of these prayer partners here to my right and to my left. Say, Jesus is telling me through His Spirit that I need to be born again today. Maybe you're here today and you're a believer. There's an issue in your life. You know this. Go to His throne in repentance. Confess that. Get up and live like God called you to live, that Jesus died for you to live. Bring Him glory. Glory to His name and His kingdom on this earth. Whatever the case may be, you need prayer. These people down front are here to pray with you, but allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life and change you for His glory.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.